The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
everybody, for joining us tonight on Off Limits. We are talking tonight about the Caitlin Hunt story, which is all over the media today and this weekend and recently. And so we're certainly going to have a lot of opinions on the matter, but we wanted to bring to light the story because it really is an important one. I think that needs to be addressed in terms of our justice system throughout the states and how they handle these kinds of situations. And so I wanted to quickly say, if you're interested, you know, we are on tonight for a couple hours. And if you want to call in, the call-in number is 323-843-6160. And you can call in anytime during the show, and I'll get to you as soon as I can. I just wanted to quickly give some information about the story for those who are not familiar with it, the listeners who are listening. By the way, you can always listen to the show on podcasts, on iTunes, Off Limits Show. Also, you can get offlimitsshow.com, on also Facebook, and also on Twitter. So Caitlin Hunt is a Florida teenager who faces criminal charges because of a same-sex relationship she had with one of her peers in her high school. And I wanted to read to you essentially what her page that has been started on Facebook says, you know, who she is. And so because it kind of describes essentially who she is and what's happened. And I'm going to read that to you instead of winging it, so it'll be better that way. So basically, this is who Caitlin is. So Kate is a high school senior living in Indian River County, Florida. Until halfway through the school year, she was a student at Indian River High School, where she had been a cheerleader, a varsity basketball player, and a medical trainee preparing for a career serving others in the nursing field. And Kate was a productive and popular member of her high school community and was voted as the student with the most school spirit. Kate had a girlfriend who was a freshman student enrolled in classes there, in upperclassmen classes, and that's how they met. And so Kate was about 3 years older than her girlfriend, and they were both in high school, and they were peers in the same social circle. So when Kate's girlfriend's parents learned of their relationship and the way that she learned of it, I think had something to do with her coach. Kate was let go from her teams, I think her basketball team, and because her coach learned of their relationship, and somehow I think the coach notified the other girl's parents about the relationship because she didn't like it because they're lesbians, or he did. And so when Kate's girlfriend's parents learned of the relationship, they went directly to the police to press charges against Kate without sharing any of their objections with her family. And the police recorded a conversation between Kate and her girlfriend, which led to Kate's arrest. Kate was arrested and interrogated extensively without a lawyer present. And Kate's father was a former police officer, so she trusted the police. She felt she could, you know, she didn't have anything to hide, so she felt she could trust them. Unfortunately, the police took advantage of her trust in order to get her to make incriminating statements. And Kate was eventually charged with two counts of felony, lewd, and lascivious battery on a child, 12 to 16. The prosecutor later offered a plea deal of felony child abuse with 2 years house arrest followed by 1 year probation. And today, each girl, Kate is 18, and her girlfriend that she had is 15. And Kate's girlfriend has taken no part in her prosecution, and she denies that she's a victim. She says it was completely consensual, but the law doesn't give her any right in the matter because they say she doesn't have the right to give consent. So Kate's offered to permanently cease contact and leave the state if charges are dropped, but that offer has been rejected by the prosecutor and the girlfriend's parents. So essentially, this is what the case is, and this is what's going on with Kate. And unfortunately, the reason this has happened is because the law says essentially in Florida that if someone is 18 years old and they have sex with someone who's, you know, considered a minor under the age of 18 or over the age of 14, but under the age of 18 or something like that, then they are committing statutory rape. However, the relationship between these two began when they were both minors, and it began when they knew each other. As I said, they were the same social groups. So the reason that many people are up in a roar about this is because there's no reason for charges to be pressed against Kate because they are contemporaries, they are in the same social circles, so there's absolutely no reason for them to have to go through this or for her to be going through this at all. And the reason this is happening essentially is because the parents of the girlfriend, Kate's girlfriend, didn't like the fact that they felt that Kate was a bad influence on their girl and essentially made her a lesbian or whatever, something of that nature. So there is definitely some homophobic issue in this, involved in this predicament as well. So anyway, I wanted to take some callers and see what everybody else thought about this and see if you guys felt that Kate was being treated fairly or unfairly. I certainly feel personally that she's being treated very unfairly, and it's unjust what's happening, and definitely is, you know, because it's happening in Florida and it's happening with some semblance of homophobia. So the first caller we have is Ryan, and let's see what Ryan has to say. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm just really outraged by this because I feel like they should drop the case. She's not a predator at all. Like, there's so many predators they're not even doing anything about. They were peers in high school, and her parents are mad that the girl's gay or whatever. Kate did not turn their daughter gay. Their daughter's gay because she's gay no matter what who she's with.
Right.
And my prayers go out to Kate and her family, so...
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, don't you think it's ridiculous the fact that she, obviously she's known this girl, as you said, they were peers, right? And so why does it matter that, you know, why is it, this is what I don't understand. You know, I said this earlier on a post earlier, I said, you know, so she was 17,364 days old one day, and the next day she turns 18. She's already known this girl. So automatically when she turns 18, all of a sudden she's a predator. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
At all.
How many people date people underage when they're in high school, when they're just and the relationship did start when they were both minors. You know, it's ridiculous because her parents are homophobes.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's about homophobia. Yeah, I agree. Well, I thank you for calling in. I agree with you, Ryan, completely. And hopefully she will get out of this. We'll pray for her and hope she gets out of it. So thanks for calling in.
I want to say one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
If Kate was really a predator, this is for that little girl's family. If Kate was really a predator, she wouldn't have as many supporters as she has. So,
of course
that's
not.
All I want to say.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
You keep listening if you want to. I'll put you on hold. Be back. Thanks. Okay, so so I agree with Ryan about that, and she's absolutely right that, I mean, this is the whole point we're trying to make, most of us who are in support of Caitlin Hunt in this situation, is that she absolutely is not a predator, and the laws are meant to protect children against pedophiles and sexual predators, as James Rumsey is saying in the chat room. That's absolutely true. This is not a situation where you have someone preying on a minor, someone who's a pedophile, who has sex with kids and children only, and has some perversion. This is about someone who is, as we have continually said, and as the court knows, as the parents know, that this was a contemporary of this person. She was someone she knew while she was a minor, before she was ever an adult. So it is absolutely ridiculous, and obviously someone with a logical brain knows this. So anyway, now we're going to talk to Richard Patterson. Let's see what Richard Patterson has to say. Richard, are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you? What do you think about all this?
Oh, well, considering I posted on damn near every thread on the group in Facebook, which, by the way, is, like, literally thousands of people
blowing up
strong. It is ridiculously huge. I mean, there is so much support for this. I mean, she deserves every little bit of it. And Ryan, as I was about to post on the chat room through my tablet, I'm about to say, yeah, Ryan hit the nail on the head. In a very simple way, but she hit the nail on the head. Honestly, there is a 3-year difference. I went to school with people in St. Lucie County. I'm from, you know, I'm from the 772 area. Mm-hmm. I went to Centennial High. Okay, I know people to this day that, like, a few of them to this day are still together with people that they went to school with, that they were dating in high school. And maybe like a 2-3 year difference between some of these people. And it's like, you know, why aren't they being prosecuted?
Right.
I mean, if this is such a big deal, if this is really a bad thing, mm-hmm. why are they not being prosecuted by this? Why aren't their own parents, one or the other, being disturbed by this? Come on. I mean, it's three years.
I think we know the answer. The answer is because it's about a gay couple and not a heterosexual couple.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that much right there is pretty obvious, because it's like, this is what jumped out at me, because I read the whole story before I got involved in this, because I'm wondering, free Kate, wait a minute, what's going on? And so I read the thing, and I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. This has nothing to do with her age.
No, it doesn't.
I went to school with people doing this, and, well, you know, come on. This happens every day.
Even the parents of the other girl have said that it was something to do with the fact that it was a gay thing. They said it was because she was a lesbian, or she turned her kid gay or whatever. So it had nothing to do with the fact that she was older. It has to do with the fact that she's gay.
Yeah, and her old man comes up and says, yeah, and the parents went before the school board and insisted that she get expelled, defying two judges' orders, mind you. And, you know, this is how far it goes, and this is how ridiculous it gets. And her old man says, you know, they were insistent that their daughter will not be gay. It's not their choice. First of all, you can't control or choose your sexuality.
No, of course not.
It's not
of course not.
It's not my choice. I mean, I was born straight, but I'm also born effeminate.
Yeah.
I can't control or choose that. It's sexuality and gender identity are two things you can't control or choose. You're born with it.
Right.
And for those of you that believe in God, that's the way God made you.
That's right. I agree. Well, hold on. I'm going to keep you on the line, but I want to take the next caller. Just you can chime in as well if you want, but let me take the next caller. We've got a caller from 941 on the line. 941, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Erica from the board.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
Hey.
Thanks for calling.
Hello.
How's that Red Bull?
It's good with the vodka. It's good with the vodka.
Good. What did you want to say?
I don't know what people who are anti this expect how to change this. Do you all of a sudden, when somebody, just say you've got a sea of 18-year-olds in a public high school, do you all of a sudden just say, okay, well, let's have a separate class for them and let's teach them to not fraternize with the underclassmen, and you can't go near them, and that means you can't party and you can't drink and you can't make these choices because it could ruin your life.
Right.
And if you have a girlfriend who's 17 or 16, you know what, or 15, stop seeing her because you're going to go to jail, even though that's been okay up until this point. Or do we just make separate high schools for anybody who's 18 and over?
It's ridiculous.
In my opinion, that would be expensive.
It's totally ridiculous.
Ridiculous, yes. Go ahead.
It would be ridiculous.
And we all know that.
Expensive, and it wouldn't work.
Right. Go ahead, Erica.
Exactly. And we all know that school funding is just, it's so abundant, isn't it, everybody, for public school
funding?
Right,
I know. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's growing on trees. I know. It's ridiculous.
It makes me so angry. I've known Kelly my whole life, and, you know, Kate's mom, and this family is such a good family, and they're so loving and accepting, and Kate is just, she's a gem, and it breaks my heart. And you know what? My heart really breaks for this other girl, too.
Yeah.
You know, she's a victim as well.
Absolutely.
I'm a psych nurse, and I can't imagine what her home life is like, and it really hurts me.
Well, exactly. The fact that she herself is going through this horrible, horrible ordeal. Her parents are essentially, you know, ruining her girlfriend's life, and she has nothing to do with it herself. Exactly. And that's a horrible thing.
I know Kelly said that she was pretty much forced to go down to the police station and was coerced to do all that, and I just can't imagine what it's like. It's a travesty all around, and I'm really glad that it's being brought to light, though, and that this is being discussed, because this is a taboo subject. It's one that gets swept under the carpet I think that the law is a good law. I think it's meant to protect the young.
Right.
But in situations like this, there's got to be a clause. We have to do something to change it. And if poor Kate is a platform that we use, I'm thankful for that. I wish that we could spare her this hurt. and her family this anguish that they're going through right now, but I think this is the only way that things are going to change, is by this movement and by this huge Facebook growing, and even by Kevies who come into the group and they shake things up and they talk about the other side, because you know what? We have to be open-minded to that, because that's what we're fighting, you know?
Right.
And there are people that see it that way, and we have to kind of, and to be able to change their minds, you have to understand where they're coming from to be able to, you know, have change, and hate just breeds hate. So that's why I just ignored that whole thing. But
Yeah. Well, I completely agree with you. I think that people, like, for example, I mean, for those people who are listening, we were speaking on Facebook about this earlier before the show, and there were some people coming in saying essentially that it's that if it were a man, that it would be, would people wouldn't be not so up in arms about it. But it's not about being a man or a woman. The point is the fact that she knew her before she turned 18, and they were contemporaries, and there was nothing to do with the fact that she was 18 years old. I said this before also. I said, look, so she's, the one girl is 15 years old, and she's dating somebody who's 17. The person turned 17 years old, I mean, sorry, 18 years old. All of a sudden, she's supposed to stop dating her and just,
right.
You know, I mean, what is she supposed to
yeah.
do? I mean, ridiculous.
Seriously, yeah, I was, and I've been parroting this like maybe 4 or 5 times now, I think, that if you think, honestly, that fraternizing students, which they are going to do, mind you, at that age, they are going to do it, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. If you got fraternizing students and one of them just so happens to have their 18th birthday and they're seeing somebody who happens to be under the age of 18,
mm-hmm.
if you think that they're going to stop seeing the person that they fell in love with,
yep.
and just because of a birthday, and hold off until that time or break it off entirely until that
right.
time, you're incredibly naive.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that. I'm going to take a quick break real quick and come back. We're going to talk about the Romeo and Juliet law. I don't know if you guys know about that, but that's one
yeah,
way
I...
to sort of change things in this case, and hopefully it'll spread to Florida as well. Hopefully you guys will stay with me. We'll be right back. We've got more callers as well. Be right back. We are back talking about the Caitlin Hunt story, and we're here with Richard and with Erica. We also had another caller before I right after I take this call, we're going to talk about the Romeo and Juliet law, but let's see what this caller has to say. 111, you're on the air. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Is
that me?
Hi, yes, I think it is you. What's your name?
Okay, good. I was just making sure. Hi, my name is Jason.
Hi, Jason. What did you have to say about this case?
What I have to say is welcome to equality under the law. I'm listening to you all, and I feel sorry for a lot of the gays who are stepping in just now, or lesbians stepping in, just seeing all of this happening. This has been going on for years. Do you know how many teens have been getting, I'm talking about males, especially males, have been getting their lives destroyed? I tell my son, I tell my godsons, any males that I know, stay away from underage girls. This has been going on, and unfortunately, these charges are going to go through. Parents' rights are nothing to play with, and if she, for whatever reason, that the parents don't like the other older girl, if mm-hmm. she decides that she's going to continue with the relationship, and she's just giving the parents ammunition, and it's the law, and it's not going to change, because if they let this girl get away with it, then it's going to be a whole bunch of people, a whole lot of people trying to get their charges overturned. It would just create a whole lot of legal chaos for something that's been going on for years legally. So I kind of feel for you all, because it is what it is. You know, this is equality under the law, and now that gays are being more accepted, which is a good thing, and relationships are happening, they're going to have to get smart. Just like I tell my sons, people are going to tell their lesbian daughters and their gay sons, hey, a person gets
but
a certain age.
But I think there's something that you're missing here. I think there's one little point you may be missing here, if you want to hear me out for a second. The point is this, is that it's not as if this person, and maybe this happens in the heterosexual world. I'm sure that it does. But this is the question I have for you. The fact is that these two people had a relationship before Caitlin turned 18. So do you recognize that, correct?
Yes, and that is used, this is for years, for a decade, that has been used. I'll give
okay.
you an example.
Wait a second. Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. So she was 18 after the relationship began. So they've been going out, having a relationship for all this time. So tell me whether it's in regards to Caitlin or anyone else in this particular situation, what would you have that person do? They're supposed to stop seeing that person because they turn 18. Magically, they're no longer appropriate partner for that person. Is that correct? What would you have them
exactly.
do?
That's exactly what should happen. And maybe for your sensibilities and maybe for the gay community sensibilities, that's too much. But in the heterosexual community, as far as how we teach our young boys and how we teach our girls, you let it go.
Is there a moral reason that you have that someone who just turned 18 years old and has had a relationship with someone all along not continue to have a relationship with that person? Or is it just a legal reason?
That is the strategy that has been used for years to wait. If there's a relationship going on and the parent can't end it, to really make sure that they end the relationship with the underage person, the authorities will tell you to wait until the other person is 18.
Okay, so I think we all agree. Well, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The law may be the law, but that doesn't make any fucking sense, okay? So to say that is ridiculous. So I want to see what Richard and Erica have to think about this. What do you think about what this guy's saying?
Erica, you want to go first? I already know what I'm going to
say,
but I'm
totally heterosexual, and yeah. I'm totally pro gay rights. So, yes. I have six children. I have a 20-year-old daughter. I have a 16-year-old daughter. I have one son who's only three. But, I'm kind of can be on the other side of this and put myself in this position. My husband and I were talking about this last night when we were out to dinner, and I think the rule is ridiculous, whether you're heterosexual, whether you're gay. I think that the sexuality card shouldn't even play here. I think the law just needs to change to protect
right.
these young boys and girls. I think that if Caitlin's name was Kevin, I would still be in support of her. I think the fact that I do think the gay issue is up front in this, and I do think that it's being driven, the fact that it's a gay relationship is being driven by the parents of this other girl because they've said it. So that's not even up for question. I just think that the law is ridiculous whether you're gay or not. I think that I'm so far into gay rights because I am that I don't even see that as the issue.
Right. I don't either.
You know what I mean? I think that we're all equal, and I think that it's bullshit for the boys too, you know?
Right.
I don't think that a boy should be prosecuted for this either.
Yeah, and he's talking about equality under the law. It's not about being equal. We're talking – I mean, because obviously we want to be treated – gay people want to have the same – equality
exactly.
to everyone else on both sides of the coin, yeah. meaning negatively or positively affects us. So, yeah. What were you going to say, Richard?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What I was going to say is it's one thing if the older person has already graduated high school, has already been out of school, and is maybe, you know, 18 after school or 19, 20, something like that. You know, you get the idea beyond school. But the younger person is still underage and is still in school, and they're technically not peers, not contemporaries, anything like that. That is completely different. But if you're going to the same school, your relationship begins in school, and it's a high school sweetheart thing. It doesn't fucking matter what the age difference is at that point. It's a high school sweetheart issue, and you can't get any older or younger, really, than what the Romeo and Juliet law allows, which is in Florida, that's allowed for 4 years.
Right,
so
4 years.
So you generally can't get any bigger than that.
Yeah, and
it
the Romeo
reminds
oh, go ahead.
Me too. It just kind of reminds me, too, when people talk about this, it reminds me of Christian zealots who pick and choose parts of the Bible that are concurrent to their life. Like, oh well, I'm gonna say that, you know, God said that, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and so I'm anti-gay, but you know, I'm gonna go and have premarital sex, or I'm gonna go cheat on my wife, but I'm forgiven under that law. Well, it's the same kind of thing like the heterosexuals or whoever, which I am heterosexual, so I'm putting myself in that category. Some of these people are just up in arms about this, but it's the same mentality to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, oh well, that's not right, but you know, the law isn't right, so that needs to change, and that's what this whole movement is about, aside from supporting this wonderful family. And I just don't think it's right, whether gay, lesbian, whatever. It's not right on any level.
I agree. And also, for those of you who don't know, the Romeo and Juliet law, what that is, and it's in some states. It is in Texas. It just passed in Texas a couple years ago, actually. Not easily, but it was passed. But it's a state law that essentially makes it legal for anyone who's at least a certain age, let's say 15 years old, to have sex with someone up to 4 years older. So someone who's 15 can have sex with someone up to 19, and that 19-year-old won't be, you know, penalized for that or whatever. And so that's great. And the reason for that is because, you know, in this particular case with Kate, it would be, I mean, it's going to be, if she is convicted or whatever, and she's going to be on her record for the rest of her life because she had sex with someone she knew before she was that age, and it was consensual, and there was no reason for her to press charges anyway. It had nothing to do with the girl. So this applies to men, it applies to women, to heterosexual, homosexual, whatever the case may be, but this prevents, to some degree, this type of thing happening to people who don't deserve it because she's not a sexual predator. So it's meant for those kind of people. So that is the most ridiculous thing. So hopefully the Romeo and Juliet law will happen in other states. Is it part of the Florida law, or do you not know? It's not,
I
guess,
Florida,
obviously.
In Florida, the law exists, yes. The way it works, as far as I'm aware, is that you can still technically get prosecuted, but if, like, you don't show a consistent record of being, say, 30 years old and going after minors, that's a completely different story. That is what a predator is.
Well, it also has to be consensual.
Exactly, but you get my point. The age difference makes all of the difference. A 3-year difference is not significant. The point is that what the Romeo and Juliet law allows is that for somebody like in Kate's case, if she, you know, heaven forbid, she actually does get convicted, and it goes on her record and everything, she goes through whatever the court tells her she has to go through as a result of it. She can, under the law, say, I'm going to invoke Romeo and Juliet law, and she will not have to register as a sex offender, which, by the way, if she does end up having to do that, however, it will completely wreck her life entirely.
I know. That's my point. Absolutely.
And she still has to do 15 years in jail. I mean, in prison, so where's the justice or whatever? It doesn't – the Romeo and Juliet laws is – I mean – the only thing it does is it just she would still have to stay with her parents. Would still have to pay more money. They'd still have to fight. They'd be caught up in court battles.
Right.
To get that through.
Mm-hmm.
And she would still be sitting in prison or whatever. And she would for a freaking high school claim. Right. And but yeah, it's stupid because to me it's stupid because the only thing that it does is it. I mean, it just expunges you from having to be a registered sexual offender, which is huge. I know. But
right.
When you're talking about the severity of what she's facing, to me it's just it doesn't even come close to cutting it.
Yeah, and the entire goal, however, of this movement is to just get all of these charges tossed out of court to begin with. I mean, it's this
right.
ludicrous, and it shouldn't even be a case. I mean,
it
that's like
off
saying
party
like,
and we're wasting money on this. I mean,
it's
off when there's rape cases that, you know, somebody very close to me and my family was raped recently in college, and you know what? Mm-hmm. We can't even prosecute them because they've made it so hard for her to come forward and. To prove it, it's like it's unbelievable, and he's out there, you know.
The burden of proof is on the victim.
On.
The burden of proof is on the
on.
Victim, instead of on the burden of proof is on the victim instead of on the
right.
perpetrator. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right.
What about what was I going to say? Oh, so my question about this case though is in terms of what is deemed is it deemed inappropriate sexual conduct? Or that she's had with her because she's over age or whatever, or is it because, I mean, is it intercourse? I mean, what is it specifically legally, do you know, that makes her guilty?
I don't know the person personally, but what I have heard
this is from
what I've read, mm-hmm. and I'm just going, all of my facts are from official sources, ergo her parents
okay.
and family. So... The information that I have, as far as I know, mostly involved PDA, you know. I don't know if they actually, you know, did it. I don't know if they actually did, but as far as I've gleaned, it seems to be mostly PDA, you know, kissing, holding hands.
It's not illegal to be gay. It's not illegal to be gay. So if they're gay, and that's why they're going after them, that's wrong. But I'm saying, what did they do?
The younger one's parents are going after her for going after the both of them for
I know.
Being gay.
Right.
I
know.
Age is just a convenience.
I believe it's for lewd. What is it? Lewd and lascivious acts under a person between 12 and 16. I think there's two counts to it. Kelly had put in her letter that there was one encounter between the girls, and that they did get Kate to confess. Whenever they brought the 15-year-old down to the police station, they wired her or whatever they did, and they had her call on a secured line, and they taped the phone conversation, and they coerced her to get Kate to admit stuff.
Well, my question is, did they have a warrant for this? Because doesn't her parents have to know about the warrant?
I don't know. Maybe that's why they waited until they were 18. Maybe that's all part of it, too. It sounds to me like the parents were pretty locked and loaded, like they knew what they were doing. They had their agenda set up.
Absolutely.
I mean, no one – local police can't pull the Patriot Act on us for that one. Only the federal government can. And that's a completely different can of worms, however. So, no, local police still have to have a warrant to do that anyway. So
right.
if that's their case and that's what they're going to use in court, if they didn't have a warrant, you better make sure the defense attorney knows that, inquire about that. And because if they don't have a warrant, that can't be used in court, which means they won't have a case.
Well, and also she was, as they said in the letter I read earlier, that she was there without any representation from an attorney or anything like that.
Which also is illegal.
Right. So, I mean,
unless she
said no. Exactly. Unless she said no. So that's the only thing. I don't know. Maybe she did. But either way, it's wrong. But I don't know. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you know if she's actually out of jail now, right? I mean, she's not in jail. She was just booked and then let go. Or what happened? Do you know?
She was bailed out. Yeah.
She was bailed out.
Okay. She has no prior record. She's like a 3.5 GPA. I mean, the kid is like an angel.
Wow.
And, you know, so they let her go on her own accord. I mean, the judge even ruled that she wasn't a threat to the girl and let her stay in school. It was the parents who pushed after two judges, you know, just like, you know, Richard said earlier, just they pushed, you know, through two court, you know, rulings by
they
judges, the school court overturned it.
It sounds to me like it's all about
the parents.
It's all about the parents.
You can call me a nut for saying this, but I smell something fishy about this, because it's like, the way I see it is, from what I understand, the two judges already said she is not a threat. She can go back to school and she can finish up and she can do what she needs to do. She's not a threat.
How does the school board override that? That's what I don't.
The parents went to the school board to override that. Which, by the way, since when does the school board's ruling overrule those two judges?
That's bizarre to me. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense at all.
Doesn't the court have more power than that?
Yes, of course they do.
I thought the judge had went.
I wish we had an attorney to talk to us about this, but I don't. I'm not Dwight Behar show, but anyway.
Then technically they can go back to the parents and say, well, we're gonna take you for contempt of court because you kind of defied the judge here. That's two counts.
Yeah, I hope that she gets good representation or has good representation. I know it's going to cost a lot of money, and I hope that people will contribute to their cause. But there is actually, those of you listening, there is actually a petition there's a petition at www.change.org/freekate. So if you go there and sign that petition, that would be great. Also, if you would like to help the family with their legal fees, you can go to GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com/2YZ5T as in Tom S, and donate money there. Yeah, if you can put that in there, that'd be great. Hopefully something will happen in this case, that things will turn out the way they're supposed to, which means that she will be let go free, and she will not have to endure a lifetime of being called a sexual predator for, as Erica said, something she had like a fling in high school. It's so ridiculous. So I hope people will hear this cause and do something about it. Going to take a quick break, come back. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, if they're going to convict her and they're going to ruin her life over a fling, you know, a high school sweetheart fling that she had that happened to be 3 years apart, and she just so happened to have recently turned 18. And oh my God, she's a predator now. Okay, you might as well go and make an inquisition through that whole school and root out everybody doing the same damn thing.
Hello,
I don't see them doing that.
When I was her age, I was dating guys who were older than me, who were over the age of 18, and vice versa. They weren't sexual predators. It wasn't anything like that at all. And people in my own school that I dated who aged out and became 18 years old, so they weren't sexual predators either. So it's ridiculous, because why is 18 the magic number anyway? I want to know that.
I don't know either. I mean, the way I see it, though,
have you met
18-year-olds
today? They're like, they're 15. Okay, I have got two of them. They're like,
right? Yeah. I mean, that's like saying, though, that I should have been busted as a senior because I was seeing someone who was 16.
Right.
I was seeing a girl who
was
16 when I was a senior.
But you know how many people in this world would be persecuted or prosecuted, excuse me, for doing the same thing? Nothing is wrong has happened here. It has been consensual. They are of the same peer group, but we keep saying that over and over again. Nothing wrong has happened. And everybody, most people anyway, have dated people a little older than themselves, or a little younger, and especially when you're 18, 17, 16, that age group. You're all in the same kind of area. So it doesn't make any sense that this is happening to her, and I hope to God that she gets off of any charges, because she doesn't deserve it. So I'm going to take a quick break. If you guys want to stay on, please do, and we'll talk about this some more. Be right back.
Ever wonder about what he's doing? How it all turns out?
Okay, so we are back talking about the Caitlin Hunt story. If you guys want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. Feel free to call in anytime during the rest of the show tonight. I'm going to bring back Erica and Richard on the phone just one second. But first, I wanted to mention or read a quick little paragraph story about a guy here in Dallas who was prosecuted for doing something similar. But it says, I'll read this to you just so you can kind of hear what the backstory is. But a new state law set, set to take effect in September made it legal for anyone who is at least 15 years old to have sex with someone up to 4 years older in Texas. This is in Texas. We'll get to Florida in a second. The legislation, called the Romeo and Juliet Bill, aims to protect young people engaging in consensual sex from winding up on the sex offender registry. Austin, a 28-year-old who spoke on condition of anonymity, said his life changed drastically after police learned he had had sex with two underage girlfriends during high school. He says, I was a senior in high school and I was 18, and they were both sophomores. On his attorney's advice, Austin agreed to 10 years probation and sex offender status. He said at the time, it's not that big of a deal. It won't be that hard. That turned out to be far from the truth, he said. He said, it wasn't until I started losing jobs that it started to sink in just how serious this was. Austin said he gained more than 100 pounds and struggled with depression because of the new label he carried. It's hell, he said. You are the worst person walking on the earth. And the new bill passed by the state Senate and the House is giving him hope. The law will make it legal for anyone at least 15 years old to have sex with someone up to 4 years older. So this is, you know, just one small example of how this can ruin people's lives. And there's stories far worse than this, of course. And so this is what we're talking about with this case and why it is unfair for someone who is engaged in a consensual relationship with someone in the same peer group, same age range, whatever, high school, whatever, to have to endure this. So just wanted to read that to you guys. So do you guys know, so you said in Florida they have the Romeo and Juliet law, but it says, I was reading about Florida, it says the age of consent in Florida is 18, and it says the minimum age of a victim is 16 years old. I guess that means what? That means that they have to at least be 16 years old for them to be able to bring charges against the person. So every state's different, and like there's some states where it's 14 years old, so it's really weird. But do you know in Florida? Do you live in Florida, Erica, or what?
I do.
You
yeah,
do.
I'm in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so are you? And do you feel that Florida? Do you feel Florida is more? How do I say this? I live in Texas. First, I want to say I live in Texas, which is a very, very conservative state, and I'm not conservative at all, but I live here. And so Florida is also, my assessment, a very conservative state. So do you think that this has to do with what's happening to Kate? I mean, it's really partially bigotry. Don't you agree that this is about that as well?
Oh, absolutely. Environment is everything. I mean, you learn that in sociology class, you know, in college. I mean, your environment is everything. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve, and we're there. I grew up, my husband's in the background saying a bunch of hillbillies is what they are. I grew up in that area in Brevard County, which is right there by where they are. And literally,
yeah.
Like, I think it's like the next county over or whatever. And, yeah, I think during certain issues have gotten more accepting, like gay rights is more accepting, but
mm-hmm.
I think overall we're definitely a more conservative state for sure, and you know, there was big Romney supporters, so that, you know, that says a lot too. And yeah, I think that she's at is wealthier too, and
mm-hmm.
Where you have wealthy, you've got people who usually are more conservative because they're conservative about their money and they want to know where
uh-huh.
their money goes. So,
yes.
Yeah, so you got politics. You can't say that politics doesn't play a role in this. It does. You know,
absolutely.
I can't say if he was in Colorado, this, you know. So that's why it's awesome that she's getting support from everywhere else, too. It's
yes.
just pouring in because, you know, she's kind of getting taken out of her environment saying, hey, there's a bigger world than where you're at in Sebastian or, you know, Vera.
Right.
And we love you and we're supporting you and this isn't right. So.
Right. And yeah. And Richard, what do you think? You think environment plays a part as well? Obviously.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it does. Now, how it is, though, is Florida seems to reek of conservatism in all the wrong places, but fortunately, at least in my area, there is a healthy balance of liberalism as well. I mean, for one thing, I call myself more a free thinker, even though I identify as liberal. I mean, I'm a registered Democrat. Yes. I'm a registered Democrat. I vote liberal. Vote Democrat normally. Although it's not necessarily the party I'm looking at, it is usually the person. And it's and there have been a couple of Republicans that are okay. Like at one point, you know, Ron Paul was cool because I mean, you know, the only thing I don't like about him really is the fact that he wants to privatize everything, which is wrong because there's some
that's
things that
the
need
only
to be.
That's the only thing you don't like about Ron Paul. I don't want to make this
as far as
show,
as far as
anyway.
I understand. I mean, I don't know. Okay. I don't know the rest of his stances. However, it's just that I like the way he thinks about economics.
Okay.
I like how
he
thinks about economics.
Anyway, so fun. Before I get upset, go ahead.
Sorry, but the economy is the most important thing as far as politics is. At least it has been up until this point.
Okay.
So, because economics, you know, our economy is shit. Let's not have any delusions about that.
But in terms of this case, though, what do you think?
In terms of this case, however, yes, we unfortunately do have a large conservative population, and where you have conservatives, it's not necessarily I want to be conservative about my money and all that. You know, I'm rich
and
I worked hard for this. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. It's not about that. It's more like it's a bandwagon where you have the conservatives are like, well, if I'm going to identify as conservative and vote Republican, and I'm going to be conservative about money and be pure capitalistic and everything, then I have to be a Bible pounding Christian, and I have to say like, oh well, Leviticus 18:22 says homosexuality is evil, and oh, and by the way, Paul says effeminate people and homosexuals will go to hell, and women will go to hell if they don't submit to their husbands. And, you know, you see how this whole thing landslides into a narrow-minded thing. And I'm not going to say that the left isn't equally bad as well, because, yeah, they do have some screwed-up people, too. But
well,
the point is,
I do think
when you have the bandwagon –
I do think that there are Republicans who are fiscally conservative and actually socially liberal. They exist. I know some. They're far and few between, but they do exist. But you're right. Most of the time there is a sense, especially in places like Florida, Texas, whatever, where it's kind of the zeitgeist or whatever in the way people think in those places about conservatism. It's like a whole kit and caboodle. It's all or nothing. So I think it definitely plays a role in this case in terms of allowing the parents to actually make it more about a homosexual thing or a gay thing, and really less about the issue at hand. Because I honestly, even though I'm sure some people would disagree, even though, you know, it's two girls or whatever, I think even if it were, I mean, if it were a man and a woman, I don't think it would be as big of a deal. I don't think they would have, you know, obviously the parents would, if it were a man and a woman, the parents would have gotten involved to this extent. Would have been an 18-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl, and I don't think the parents would have cared at all. So obviously it's a gay issue here, and that plays into a place like Florida where you have people who are really highly conservative and people have a lot of money. Some of them do, especially in places like where she's from, apparently. I don't know, but from what Erica's telling me. So I think it definitely plays a role, and I hope that – what I find, though, unfortunately, is that a lot of times I've always thought when I was growing up, people who have more money typically are more educated. You typically, not always, but and a lot of times, people who are more educated are typically more open-minded, liberal, or whatever, a lot of the time. But it doesn't seem to
That's
be the
true.
Case.
But if you're talking about an older generation, because you're talking about older generations, I think that this other girl's parents are older.
Yes.
And she, the other girl, from just what I've read, the facts that she was, like, in the IB program, that is above and beyond a gifted. My oldest daughter was the IB program, and you have to, like, be selected for that. And there's
right.
this very number of
It's like the National Honor Society. I mean, I always thought that was a cult.
Huge. Yeah, it is kind of, because you really can't do anything else. And the fact that she was an athlete and she was like on the, you know, she was on the basketball team too. So I'm sure these parents had the wool, you know, they had the rug pulled out from underneath them when this came out. I mean, they probably had blinders on and saw what they wanted to see. And,
right.
you know, so it makes sense. You know, if you really look back at it with an open mind, it makes sense how this is become this
progressed and yeah, this, how yeah. it's happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying, it's like it's a bandwagon. I mean, when you got people, we have people identifying as a certain political party or certain political persuasion, they tend to take everything and, you know, hook, line, and sinker what the extreme of that side takes. I mean, it takes a free thinker to not go to those extremes and find a balance, which unfortunately are few and far between.
Yeah. Yes.
So. I think we're getting better odds, though. I really do. College is teaching, you know, there's a lot of liberalism that's being taught in college now, and for the good.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
good.
I think we're definitely seeing a shift just with the fact that most Americans agree that homosexuals should be able to marry. I mean, we think it's stupid.
Right, right.
You know,
exactly.
And for my parents, it wouldn't have even been on the ballot. I mean, that wasn't even up for discussion. You know, you didn't talk about that. So, and I had closed-minded parents. Still kind of do. But, you know, but it shows aggression.
Not have parents.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah,
what's
right?
that?
I said I am fortunate that my parents are not generally closed-minded. I mean, my mother is quite intelligent, and she's pretty liberal herself, and she sees things for what it is.
Uh-huh.
So
that's good. Yeah.
I got in trouble in American government for being the same way, and my teacher is very conservative, right? She's like, your son has some very weird views for someone of his age, and my mother's like, well, duh, if you're not appalled, you're not paying attention.
Well, my mom is very open minded, but my extended family is very, very conservative. I come from Dallas, Texas, and it's just like that here, you know, very conservative, generally speaking. And I don't know where I came from. I guess because I'm gay and everything, that I was made different or whatever, but I'm just really, really liberal, always have been. And so it's really great when you have parents who are like that, because really not only just in terms of political stuff, but in terms of you growing up and accepting you for who you are. And I have a question for you, Erica. You, since you kind of know her family somewhat, or you know of them at least, then do you know how they does do you know if she, Kate, identifies as a lesbian, or is she bisexual, or what's that about? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that. I just know that the family's really open, that Kelly is just really loving and accepting, and I don't think
it
would be an issue. Like, I, you know what I mean? So I don't think that would even be an issue. Like, oh my gosh, my daughter's gay. Like, I don't even, they're such good people. I don't think that would even be, you know. It wouldn't even be a question. So, yeah. So I don't even think that would be brought up at the dinner table.
Well, that's
just
great.
Is, you know?
That's great. She's fortunate to have those kind of parents then, because that was my concern, is that I was wondering, even though obviously they're supportive of her in the situation, I didn't know if they were accepting of her, you know, all around or just for this particular case or whatever. But that's great. Wonderful. So, yeah. So I do think, obviously, environment plays a huge role in it, obviously. So does anybody have any other comments before we go about this case? Anything you want to say?
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead, Erica.
I'm just curious. To be blatant, the law is the law. And we all know, if any of us have been through any kind of trial, or even, you know, or have watched anything on the news, or it's hard to change the law. So we really need to, like, try to figure out how to change it so that, you know, Caitlin doesn't have to, because it's pretty black and white. The American judicial system, it's pretty black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? What do we do to get the movement going? Is it just by signing this petition? I mean, is it just by writing your legislature? I mean, what is the right recourse to this to really help her and change this so that this doesn't happen to anybody else?
Yeah.
My fear is we get caught up in the cause. You know, oh, what's the cause? And we're all going to tell about it. But I mean, we really need to make a change. You know, we really do need to.
Yeah.
And how do you go about that? Let's for the
I think it's mobilization. And mobilization, and you know, yeah, you're right. People sometimes just get caught up in the cause itself and never actually achieve anything. But I think in this case it is what you said. I think it is each, because it obviously is a state issue. It's not like a one federal law thing. I mean, I guess people could actually lobby for a federal law. I don't know. But because it's a state law issue, you have to kind of mobilize people from different states into this cause and have them write the legislature, have them write their government, their governors, whatever, and try to make a change in the law in each state. I think it's the only thing you can do. But what specifically would that law say? Would it say what? It would say, what would that, you know, that's my question, I guess. What would the law say?
Similar to what you, well, similar to what you said about the Texas law, or just
right.
even putting in the fact that they were in high school together. I mean, I don't think that you and I don't think that you're allowed to be a certain age and be in high school, right? I think that there is a law that, like, once you turn 19, you can't be in high school. Is that right? And you have to go to alternative school or 20? Is there a difference?
20.
You could be 20 and be in high school. See, I thought that there was an age gap. I could be wrong, but I thought that there was a certain age limit.
I believe so.
So why is there
can't.
That age limit? You know, if you can't be 20 and be in high school, then say, okay, 20-year-olds can't associate with high school students. But you
right.
can't put kids in a pod and expect them to learn together and be in classes together. This girl was in gifted programs and in the upper class, and you can't expect them to not mingle. They're freaking,
right.
they're all high school kids. They're all going through the same experience. They're,
exactly.
I talked to my 16-year-old daughter, and I said, and she knows what's going on, and her heart's breaking for Kaiten. I said, I turned to her tonight. I said, Rylan, I said, do you see this at your school with boys or what, whoever? And she says, Mom, she goes, every freshman girl doesn't have a relationship like they had, like this girl
right.
and Caitlin had. She said, they're hookup buddies, and their seniors are taking advantage. She goes, it's all over the place. She goes, if they came to my school and arrested the boys, half the school would be arrested and thrown in jail.
Exactly.
You know? And she said, it's wrong. And she's 16, and she's a girl, and that's how she sees it.
I agree with her.
Yeah.
I totally agree, too. And the way I see it is you know, all you really have to do is just amend the current law. The current law is fine as it is, except for a simple accommodation for those
right.
that are having high school flings. Because technically, all high school relationships, because they're all minors, technically it's illegal.
Yeah.
If you really want to be,
Raise your hand if you've had sodomy and you need to be arrested, because, I mean, it's just
right.
ridiculous.
In some
yeah.
states, sodomy is illegal. Sodomy,
right.
I think, is defined as any kind of sex that isn't a vaginal missionary position.
That's a lot of things, too, so.
Come arrest me.
Yeah, and that's a lot
exactly.
of people, too. Hell, I'd be guilty on several counts there.
I know. I mean, come on, people. It's ridiculous.
But come on. I mean, this is fucking ridiculous. This is the 21st century.
Exactly.
We're not living in Victorian ages.
Common freaking sense.
But how do
right.
you take that ridiculousness and change the law? Because that's really what it's about, you know?
Well, yeah, I think the only thing you can do
is
to write. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. That's what upsets me, is that the thing is that people who are representatives in each state, in the government, the federal government, whatever, you know, they represent the community, quote-unquote community, right? They're supposed to represent us and what we say we want. But a lot of times that's not the case. Unfortunately, the politicians get into the political side of things, and they do what they can to get reelected over and over to make a career out of politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't really care what you want. And so it's really difficult to change things to some degree. But I don't think if you have enough people who are mobilized and people who actually want to have something changed, they can make it happen. So it's certainly possible. And I think for the sake of people who have children and people who are planning to have children in the future, and, you know, it just people who are adults even, I mean, who are suspect to this kind of thing, I think that you have to think about that what's going to happen if you have a kid and they're 18 years old, they're dating someone who's 16 years old, and they go to jail because you didn't do anything about it. So I think we do have to do something about it for everybody's sake. So what they do, like you said, Erica, the question, I guess, is what to do. And I guess the only thing, my answer is only just to mobilize and to actually write your legislation. Do you have any better ideas?
It's just so frustrating. And the only reason that Caitlin's in this position is because these other parents are just they're hateful, and that's it. I mean,
that's
the only reason, you know. And it's like the bad luck of the draw, and it just sucks, you know. It's just so frustrating because we got to do something to change it.
Yes, you're
it's
right.
It's all what it is homophobia. It is plain and simple. Because I'll tell you,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this now. If this were a heterosexual situation, if their daughter were seeing an older boy,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that we wouldn't even be here having this fiasco in the first place, because
yep.
because it would be in accordance with their beliefs. But all of a sudden,
right.
it's a girl. Oh no! My daughter will not be gay. I'll
no.
say it again.
And it's not. And it's not. And they
it's
can't.
It's not your
and
choice.
That, and that's false. Well, and that's false to them. That's a sin. It's dirty. It's false. So they don't want to take the. They don't want to say that my daughter is faulted or something's wrong with my daughter. So they put the blame off on. Oh, let's put the blame off on the other girl. You know, she made her this way. She turned her evil. It's all
right.
What? It's just it's shameful.
But that's just it, though. I mean, it's the problem. That's the problem is that people are narrow-minded. Some people are narrow-minded. They're like, well, my religion says that God made the Bible. It is inerrant, and the Bible says it's evil. So common sense, by that logic, common sense says God doesn't make people gay, because he wouldn't make somebody evil, because, you know, something that's abhorrent to him. And I'm saying, well, you have your faith, but I also have empirical science that states that, yes, people are born with a predisposition towards whatever sexuality they have. Granted, the majority is straight, but there are gay people.
There's people of faith who believe that God did make gay people, and he made them perfectly. And I, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are pretty strong religious people, but they are total liberals as far as all that's concerned, and they don't think that there's any faith.
My mother's a Christian. I'm an atheist, but still.
Yeah.
Well, I was raised Christian, okay? I used to believe, but I stopped because of all of this crap. I mean, it's okay if you believe.
The problem comes in where, you know, exactly. And that's what happens is, like, people who are oppressed do get beat down by the oppression of people like who are highly religious zealots or whatever. Yeah. And that happens. And so then they wonder why we don't want anything to do with them. But, so I think the difference is this. I think there are people who are religious who, even though it may be kind of an oxymoron or whatever, there are people who are religious who actually are not homophobic, who actually are not racist or whatever,
and they get shunned, and they're shunned within their own religion. So it's kind of interesting.
They do,
but whatever it's you true. Find decent and whatever,
it's true.
Yeah,
but they're far.
Where you say that you know, they wonder why we don't want anything to do with them anymore. It's, you know, this is they don't really care if we want anything to do with them anymore. They're trying to lobby the government and try to do everything they can in order to force their way by manipulating the law. What they've been trying to do. That's what all these filibusters and other things that the GOP is doing left and right here is to say, we're trying to make this a Christian nation, and we're going to do it our way, the conservative way. And they are fighting first at the states, but I don't know how recently, but, you know, it's gotten to be such a big deal. I can't really keep up with all of it. But it's like some of it's
way into the federal
government.
The thing that irritates me the most is, in terms of this discussion anyway, when churches and pastors and preachers or whatever, they take their money and they rally, Mormon churches, whatever, take their money and they rally and they use their money against causes that they, you know, political causes that they're not for or the causes they're against. And that's against the tax code, where it says if you're a church or a religious institution and you have tax exemption status, you cannot be political. And so that's happening all of the time, and more and more every day, every year. And they're trying to influence legislation, and they have, and they do. Yet they maintain their status, they maintain the money that's coming in, and nothing ever gets done to them. But in the meantime, people like the rest of us who are oppressed by people like that have to continue to fight harder and harder for our rights. And so it's the same with this case here. And people are going to have to fight for this, fight against people who are ignorant, bigoted, or whatever. In order to get what's right, make what's right happen. And so hopefully that will be, you know, like you said, it's writing our legislation, it's writing our governors, it's protesting, I guess. I don't really know how you'd protest, but, you know, whatever. Just do whatever we can.
I'm thinking about staging a protest for this. I mean, you know, everyone here probably knows about Anonymous. They were involved in that chat some time before I got in there, and I'm in there, and I post, like, yes, Anonymous has a heart, and I put a picture there of, like, Rule 32, Pixar didn't happen, I provide pics, Rule 7, Anon delivers. So there was a lot of people that liked it, and they're like, yeah, and so we're like, I'm thinking, why don't we just stage a protest on top of all this, just to compound the idea that we're taking this very seriously, that seriously, you know, just with that tax code thing, those are the bigger fish that they need to be frying. Seriously.
Right.
If you're 501c4, you don't have the right to use
three.
Your non-profit money to lobby the government. Therefore, the IRS needs to be doing something about that. You wonder why the IRS is picking on conservatives. Because guess what? Churches are primarily composed of them. Now the truth comes out. Now I have for them.
Go ahead, Eric.
You know what would really change this case is if a senator's child was the 18-year-old. You know, I mean, honestly, that's what would change this case.
That would be even more of a fiasco.
Hey, that's what we could do. I know what we could do. We could entrap some 18-year-old. I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
That's what they already did.
Some senator's son, I mean. I was joking.
Yeah, technically, this whole thing was entrapment anyway. I mean, because entrapment, by the way,
is
illegal. So.
It was.
I mean, this whole thing was fishy, and I had to ask a couple of times, I mean, who paid off who in order to make this expulsion thing happen?
Yeah,
I don't think it was mere word of mouth. I really don't think it was words saying
well,
this has been done.
Well, you have to realize, Richard, also, though, that communities are made up of people, right? So the people who make up communities have that sort of groupthink. And the people in that school obviously thought that this was wrong, that they're lesbian or whatever. And so they did what they could to make sure that she got expelled because they had the opportunity to do it, so they did it. I don't know if it's legal or not, but they had the opportunity to do it, and they did. So people who think that
ambiguous.
Way do what they can. It doesn't matter if it's legal or not.
Ambiguous.
It doesn't matter if it's morally or legally ambiguous to them or not. All they care about is sticking it to the gay people, basically. That's all they care about.
Oh, yeah.
No, they don't care.
I know.
So it wasn't really anything. Anyway, I wanted to thank you guys for calling into the show. I really appreciate you, Erica and Richard, calling and talking about this, and I really think that you guys had a lot of great things to say. I really hope also that somehow this little bitty tiny show will help people hear her story, and also people will do something about it. And like we said, everybody, earlier in the show, those of you listening to archives, on podcasts, whatever you're listening to, you can go to, once again, you can go to the Free Kate page on Facebook. And you can also go to the they have a page set up for funding for her legal fees if you're interested in helping. I'm sure anything that they can get would be appreciated. And you can go to the Free Kate page on Facebook and get that address there, as well as sign a petition at change.org/FreeKate. So I want to thank you, Erica. Richard, thank you very much for calling. Everybody else.
Well, thanks for hosting it, and thanks for
you're welcome.
Talking about it. That was awesome.
You're very
we appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I will see you guys later. Thanks, and you have a great night. Good night.
All right, sounds good. Bye, guys.
Bye.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. H-I-M.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.